to think for a minute and to decide what you believe is the toughest job in the whole world, what would you think it is? If you thought for a minute of all the jobs that there are across the globe, what's the toughest one? Now, I know there's a show on TV called Dirty Jobs, and some of those might be tough, and some of those are not jobs that you would want to do. But as you think about maybe some of those dirty jobs, maybe it's about your job. Maybe Cindy thinks she's got the toughest job in the world working as a church secretary. And sometimes that might be right. What is, in your mind, the toughest job in all of the world? Is it being a doctor and putting up with patients who have no patience? Is it being a lawyer, putting up with those clients who want miracles done? Dan Fuller, is it being a school teacher and learning that not only do the doctor's patients not have patience, but children and parents don't have patience either? What's the toughest job in all of the world? As you think about that, as you start making up your list, I don't want to scare anybody, but I think the toughest job in all of the world is a job that a lot of you in here have. The Bible tells us to train up a child. It doesn't get any tougher than that. You might be an accountant. You might work for a bank. You might have the toughest job that you think exists anywhere. But if you're a parent, you know. You know that you have the toughest and yet at the same time the most rewarding job that exists on the face of this earth. This morning's lesson is going to turn our attention to the book of Proverbs, and I hope that you will turn your Bibles over there and to see what the book of Proverbs has to tell us about being a parent. And this is one of those lessons that there are going to be people who love it a lot and who think that this needs to be preached every Sunday. Then there's going to be those other people who hate it with a passion and think that these things should never be discussed in public or in the church, and we ought to just be quiet about these things and we should never talk about parenting and discipline. I don't know what extreme you're going to fall on. Maybe you're going to fall in the middle and say, well, I'm not a parent. I have no plans to ever be a parent, so this doesn't apply to me. Or maybe you're one of those who has an empty nest and the kids are gone and you say, this has nothing to do with me. My job is done. Wipe the grin off of your face when I say that, okay? This is a lesson that may be very hard for some to hear and it may be very easy for others to hear. And yet it's a lesson that we all need to know because it's found within the pages of God's Word. I haven't preached on parenting for probably about 11 years. You know why? Because I became a parent about 10 years and 1 month ago, and I realized how much I didn't know. And I've been on a crash course trying to learn all that I can about the toughest job in the world that I have. And yet, wouldn't you know it, that you don't have to be a parent. And you don't have to know anything about parenting to come to the Bible and to say what God says about parenting. The Bible says that God has given to us as parents the responsibility to train up a child in the way that he should go. Why do we suggest that this might be the toughest job in all the world? Well, because it's not a job that you've got from 9 to 5. It's a job that you have 24/7, 365. It's not a job that you're working for a paycheck. Guess what? When you're a parent, you don't get a paycheck. It's not a job where you're dealing with cash registers and offices and paper clips and pens and customers and clients. It's a job where you're dealing with a child's soul. It doesn't get any more important than that. And Bo, I'm sure that being a doctor is a tough job. But as a parent, you get to be the doctor. You get to be the nurse. You get to be the receptionist. And you have to be the specialist. You can't just be a generic care doctor. You got to specialize in ears and noses and throats and eyes and fingers and owies and ouchies and bumps and bruises and bullies and everybody else in the world. When you're a parent, I'm sure that being a lawyer is tough, but when you're a parent, you get to be the lawyer, you get to be the jury, you get to be the judge, you get to be the referee, the umpire, the line judge, and everybody else. When you're a parent, you get to be the chef, you get to be the server, you get to be the busboy, you get to be the one who washes the dishes. You get the point? It's not that you just as a parent have one job, you get all of the jobs that come with it. Sometimes as a parent, it feels like the job that you have is in a circus, doesn't it? Where instead of being one act in the circus, you feel like you're running the whole show. That your job is every one of those three rings in the circus. And as a parent, sometimes you feel like you're the acrobat. Sometimes you feel like you're the tightrope walker. Sometimes you feel like you're the juggler. And maybe as a part of that circus, sometimes at the end you just feel like you're a clown trying to figure out how to be a parent. Folks, all we've got to do is come back here. All we've got to do is to come back to the Bible, to look especially at this book of Proverbs and see that it has so much to tell us about this job that God has given to us as parents. But before we get to the book of Proverbs, I want you to back up a couple pages to Psalm 127. The great family psalm of the book of Psalms tells us that unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. If you are trying to build your home, if you're trying to have a home where you have a mother and a father and a son and a daughter, when you have children, if you're trying to raise a family, if you're trying to build a house and you don't have God right at the very heart of it, God says your laboring is in vain. It's useless. If you are laboring to build a house and if it's not God who's laboring with you, what you're doing is not going to work. Unless the Lord is at the heart of your home, at the very center of it, and all that you do, the Bible says your home will never be a happy home, will never be a successful home. It will never be the home that you're striving for it to be if God is not first in your home. What's the job that God has given to us as parents? The job that He's given to us is to put Him in the center of our home. And I know this next point might seem obvious, but it seems like it needs to be said. The job that God has given to you as a parent is to be the parent. Is to be the parent. We live in a society where sometimes that's not allowed. Or maybe we could say we live in a society where that is just not popular. Or at least that's not what is practiced. We live in a society where mom and dad don't seem to have authority in the home. And I don't know if it's because they have not exercised it, if they have not taken it upon themselves, or it's because they have just taken the authority that they have and just given it to the children to let the children run the show. You know, the Bible says, it is not in man who walks to direct his steps. As human beings on this earth, you and I have no clue what direction we need to go unless we follow the plan that God's given to us. Jeremiah 10:23, it's not a man that walks to direct his steps. How is it then that we believe that it's within a child? That it's within the mind of a child who has not been in this world for very long? That somehow it's in the mind of a child that he or she will be able to know how to direct his or her own steps in life, and they don't need our help. God's given us the job of being the parent, of being the one who's in authority in the home, being the one who's in charge in the home. There's too many homes today. There's too many homes today where the children run the show, where the children seem to dictate the path that that home is going to take. If you don't get anything else out of this lesson, I beg of you to get these next 4 points. Because here is the job that God, as the parent, if we want our home to excel, here's 4 things that we must bring into our home, that we as a parent must exercise as the one who's in charge in the home. And from the book of Proverbs, if we will take these and apply them, then our home will be following the pattern that God has given to us. First thing we need to do as parents is we need to exemplify Christ. We need to exemplify godly living in our homes. Look in the book of Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7. The Bible talks about a man and how he walks. And it emphasizes in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7 that a righteous man walks in his integrity. Well, what does that got to do with the home? A righteous man walks in his integrity. And the end of the verse says, his children are blessed after him. Parents, your children are following you. The first part of that verse says that there's a man who is walking, and the next part of the verse says there are children who are following. How are those children who are following the example that you are setting, how are they going to be blessed? If the mom and dad are those who walk in integrity, who determine that honesty is going to be the policy in our home, who determine that we are going to tell the truth, that we are going to be those who stand by our word, are going to be those who follow after the righteousness of God, who put the Lord and His church first in our lives. How can we ever expect, as parents, how can we ever expect our children when they are grown and out of our home? How can we ever expect them to put the Lord first in their lives? How can we ever expect them to put the church first in their life? How can we ever expect them to study the Bible on a daily basis? How can we ever expect them to not forsake the assembling of the saints on the first day of the week? How can we ever expect them to be honest in their doing? How can we expect it if we don't live it in front of them? They are going to follow in our steps, and we should not be surprised when our children are grown and out of our homes if they're walking in the same way that we walked. You know, it's one thing to say something with your mouth. It's another thing for your body to say the same thing that your mouth just did. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18, Bible says that we don't need to love just in word and in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You've heard the saying, and you've probably used it, that your actions are speaking so loud I can't hear what you're saying. That's true in the home. We can tell our children things, but if they don't see it in our lives, then our words are empty. They have no meaning. We've got to exemplify Christ in our homes. Second thing that we need to do is to accept and to embrace the responsibility that God has given to us to instruct. Throughout this book of Proverbs, and I've only put a couple up here, throughout this book of Proverbs, here's Solomon, as it were, writing to his son, telling him to follow the instructions of his father. It's the responsibility of moms and dads to teach their children. We send our children off to school. We send them to kindergarten so that they can learn how to color or build or, you know, how to fight in the sandbox or whatever you do in kindergarten. We send our kids to kindergarten so they can learn. Is that not what you learned in kindergarten, Timothy? I'm not sure. It's been a long time since I've been in kindergarten. We send them to first grade, to second grade, to third grade. Why do we keep sending them to school? Is it to get them out of the house? Is it so that we can? Why do we send them to school? Because it's the law? We send them to fourth grade and to fifth grade. We send them to middle school. We send them to high school. We send them to college. Why are we sending our children to school? Because we don't want them to grow up to be a dummy. Right? We want our children to be educated. We want them to grow up to have some kind of knowledge so that they can go out and get a good job and support us with their good job when we need the money. We send our children to school so that they can be taught, so they can learn history and English and science and math and PE, that's the best one, and so that they can learn all of these things that they might be successful in their life. What are we doing at home to teach them something that's more important than whatever they'll learn at school? God tells us to teach them diligently in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7. When do we do it? When you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, every moment and opportunity you have. Here's what we've got to be instructing them. Here's what we've got to be teaching them. The Word of God. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. How much do your children hear this book in your home? It's not just something that we have to do. It's something as parents that we ought to embrace and take upon ourselves as the greatest responsibility we have to impart to them the knowledge that can save their soul. To embrace the opportunity to train up a child in the way he should go. Go sometime and study that verse in Proverbs 22 and verse 6. You know, oftentimes we think about that verse simply in respect to we are to train them up in the paths of morality, in the paths of spirituality, so that they continue on those paths for the rest of their life. And that's certainly the application in this verse. But this verse is talking about, notice it doesn't say train up children. It puts it in the singular. The reason is this verse is indicating that each child, have you noticed this? That each child is different. Each child. Rick, have you noticed that? Is Haley a lot like Stacy? I don't think she is. Have you noticed that each child in your home is just a wee bit, if not a lot bit, different? They all need. Christopher, what are you doing, brother? Christopher, you need some help, brother. They all need to be taught in the paths of righteousness, and yet each one has their own strengths, their own weaknesses. Each one has their own talents, their own abilities that we need to hone in on, that we need to help. Now, the word train here is not that we pick them up when they're 12 and, okay, what do you like to do? Okay, let's go do it. The word train is right at the very beginning. Is where we initiate it, is what the word means. Is where we start them down that road. What roads have you started your children down? There are some of your children who are fantastic baseball players, football players, soccer players, cheerleaders, trumpet players. I shouldn't have started this list. Choir singers. There's your children, there's a lot of your children who have incredible abilities, and you're the one who kind of started them down that road, and you're the one who taught them and trained them and coached them, and they get down the road and they're fantastic athletes or whatever it may be, where are they spiritually? There's nothing wrong with teaching our children how to play sports, but what are we doing to initiate and to start them down the path of following after God? That great family Psalm 127 says that children are like arrows in the hand of a mighty warrior. If you were in Bible class this morning in the adult classes, you learned about Micaiah and the prophecy that he made that Ahab was going to be killed in battle. And perhaps if you got to that point, you may have learned how the prophecy was fulfilled that he was killed. How was Ahab killed in battle? Oh, it was just a random guy out there just shooting arrows randomly, and a random arrow happened to hit Ahab and to kill him. Is that how you're shooting your children? Just randomly? Well, let's see. This one, we'll go this way. Are we just shooting our children randomly? Or do we have a target in mind? Do we know where we want them to go? Children are like arrows in the hands of a mighty warrior, and it's the parents' job to instruct them, to teach them, and to train them. Now, these last two are not as popular, maybe, as the first two. It's the parents' job to employ verbal correction in the home. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 17 says, "To correct your son." I wonder in your home if your child is doing their math and they write down 2 plus 2 equals 5 and 3 plus 3 equals 7 and 22 times 22 equals 22. I wonder if in the math process in your home of homework, do you ever correct your child? Or do you just let them take the paper to school and get the big fat F and then you laugh about, you should have done better than that. I'm sure that every parent in here has taken time to help correct homework, to help correct a child. If your child was about ready to touch a hot stove, would you say, let's see how this is going to work out for him? Or would you verbally announce, we don't do that in this house? Or do you? Do you touch hot stoves? You don't practice that. We don't do that. Stop. Verbally correcting an action. If we do it with homework, if we do it with crossing the street or putting a hand on a hot stove, shouldn't we do it spiritually? Shouldn't we do it when it comes not to matters of a hot stove, but comes to matters of a hot eternity? When it comes to a matter of where their soul is going to be for all of eternity? What's wrong with telling our children, and even telling our adult children, that they're doing wrong in God's eyes? The Bible says in Ephesians 6, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." That's the favorite part of that verse for children, by the way. "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." Yeah, let's write that one down. "But bring them up in the nurture and the admonition." The word admonition means warnings of the Lord. Is it not our responsibility as parents to warn our children about their activities and the direction of their lives? Well, what if the verbal, here's where it's going to get real unpopular for some. What if the verbal correction doesn't work? Oh, well, I tried. You know, I counted. 1, 2, 2.5. 2, and you better get going real fast. Well, I tried. They didn't do anything. If I looked in the book of Proverbs for God saying to count to 3, I'm not going to find it. Now, as parents, sometimes we need to go count to 10 before we do anything about it. What does God tell us to do if the verbal correction doesn't work? You know what God tells us to do. God tells us that our responsibility as parents is to enforce physical punishment. Oh, no, 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 no. No, no, no. That's not right. Physical, like striking the child. No, no, that's surely that's not what's being discussed here. Because we live in a society where we know better today. We know better today that when you strike a child, when you spank a child, that it has major psychological trauma upon the child, and it scars them for the rest of their life, and they will never be the same if you ever spank you. So don't. Have you heard these kind of things? Have you read Dr. Spock? Have you listened to Oprah? Have you listened to whoever's on TV who knows all about this and has written all these books about why we shouldn't spank our children? Let's put a parenthesis here because we have to. When we go to the Bible and we read about physical punishment, God is not talking about physical abuse. Okay? I don't know that we need to say that here, and hopefully we all realize the difference. God's not talking about verbal and physical abuse where you about kill your child because of the beating. That's what's in your head, maybe, but that's not what God has told us to do. There's a difference, and I think we know that. And unfortunately, I think our society knows that. They just want to ignore it. Parentheses closed. What does God say to do? God says in the book of Proverbs at least 5 times to beat him or her with a rod. We think rod, and we think about that metal pipe that's laying out back. It's 10 feet long, and it's got rust on the end. You know, and we say, all right, go pick your metal pipe out of the backyard. No, this word's not that. This word is basically what many of you grew up with, is that switch. That's what the word means. But God says to chasten, to discipline, to correct them even by beating them with a switch. I know that is totally unpopular in our society. I know it's totally unpopular in this section, in this section, in this section, in that pew, in that pew, in that pew. I see little head, I see little Astrid's head. I say, no, 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 Mr. David, stop. Mr. David, don't say these things. You're going to get my parents' ideas. We don't have time to finish this lesson. You need to go online tomorrow and get the rest of these slides. Because the Bible tells us how this correction is to be administered. The Bible tells us that it's to be done out of love. Parents, it's not to be done out of anger. You're not to strike your children out of anger. You're not to strike your children with the heart set on their destruction. I'm going to show this little brat. No, 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 no. Correction's to be done out of love. Because God chastens those who love Him. Chapter 3, verse 11. The Father chastens His Son because He loves Him. Verse 12. You love your children. You discipline your children. It's not because you hate them. It's not because you want to scar them for life. It's because you love them. And that's why God does it for us. It's something that we do out of love, and very quickly, we need to do it while they're still moldable, while they're still young enough to be shaped. Guess what? Stand up, Jeremy. I'm glad you were awake, okay? I don't know that I could spank this boy hard enough to make a difference in his life. Do you? What do you think?
No.
Yeah, that's what I thought. You know, at some point, correction needed to be brought in this boy's life before he got to this point. Right, Joe? Right, Janice? But, sit down. Now, there's more that you can do besides that physical punishment, isn't there, parents? And when my children get there, I want the ideas that you have used that have worked so that I can try to see what happens in my home. But we've got to correct our child. The Bible says when he is young enough before he gets old. The Bible says to do it while there is hope, chapter 19, verse 18. There's going to come a time where there is no hope for changing your child. The hope was back there, and that's when you needed to do it. Look in chapter 23, verse 13. Look in Proverbs 23, verse 13. Do not withhold correction from your child. Do not withhold the discipline, the chastening, the punishment from your child. For if you, what? Beat him. What? Wait a minute. We're not supposed to. If you beat him, he will not die. What does God think about punishing our children? Kids are going to go home today, and they're going to say, Mom, I never want to go back to church again. They're going to say, Mr. David's off of the Christmas card list, and he's off my happy list. We're talking about the toughest job in all the world. This is not easy for parents. But if you'll come back tonight, we'll talk about the easiest job, all right? Forget this toughest job. You know, it doesn't make for an easy sermon either, by the way. Forget this discussion about the toughest job. Tonight, come back, we'll talk about the easiest job. But discipline's got to be done promptly. That's the word the Bible uses, promptly. The kids need to see that connection between what they had done and the correction that comes. It needs to be done, parents, consistently. Boy, that's hard, isn't it? To be consistent, to be clearly, they understand it, to be done age appropriately. When he's as big as you are, you might have to revert to some other kind of discipline. But God tells us how to do it. And he tells us why to do it. He tells us to do it to impart wisdom, to teach them. He tells us to do it to remove foolishness from their hearts. He tells us to do it that we might save their souls. Your child comes into this world, and the thing that is standing between that child and going to heaven is you and how you will mold them and how you will shape them. And God says there's even benefits for you. If you do it, he will give you rest. Not God, your child will give you rest and will bring delight to your soul. And I know there's some who will even, parents, I know there's some parents who will even leave here today and say that might be what the Bible says, but I would never, ever, ever, ever spank my child. Proverbs chapter 30. Let me read one verse and then we're going to close. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 11. The Bible says, there is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, yet it's not washed from its filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. You know where that generation comes from? That generation comes from parents who will not train their children. May God help us. May God help us as parents to have the wisdom to know how to raise our children, how to teach them, how to encourage them, how to guide them, how to train them, and when it's necessary, how to correct them and how to punish them. For if we do not do it, what hope is there for our children? If we do not do it, the Bible says, he who chastens not his son hates him. If we don't do it, the Bible says that child's going to bring shame to its mother. And if we don't do it, we have failed to deliver that child from the snares of the devil. As you think about this lesson this morning, it's kind of a hard lesson to consider and maybe a hard lesson to practice. But go back this last time and think about the words from Psalm 127. While our children may bring challenges to our lives, and while they may bring a lot of joy and satisfaction, the Bible says that children are a gift from God. That they're a heritage from the Lord. And the Bible says that they are a great reward. May God help us as parents to put Him in the heart of our home. Because if the Lord doesn't build the house, what we're doing is in vain. Let's bow together and pray. Our Holy Father, we thank You for our homes. We thank You for the moms and dads who are here. And Father, we thank You for the children that You have given to us. Father, as we contemplate the job that You have given to us, the responsibility that we have, Father, we pray that You will give us wisdom to know what is right to do in our homes. And Father, then give us the courage to follow through with it. God bless each and every one of our homes. Help us to teach our children about You, about Your Son, about Your Word, about the church, that we might not raise a generation that does not know the Lord or the power of His might. Father, thank You for Your Word that supplies us with all that we need for life and godliness. Help us to be diligent students. Help us to be faithful adherents and practices. Thank You for Your love for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Greatest blessing you have on this earth is to be a child of God. To be able to call God your Father. If you want to be His child and be able to call Him your Father, you need to believe in God. Believe that He's a rewarder of those who seek Him. You need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That He came and died on the cross, was buried, and was raised again for you. If you want to be able to call God your Father, you need to confess the faith that's in your heart that Jesus is His Son, and then you need to be baptized into Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Galatians 3 and verse 27, the verse before that says, we're all children of God because of our faith, because we've been baptized. When you're baptized, your Father will wash away your sins. Your Father will add you to His church, and your Father will write your name down in the book of life. Have you done that? If you've done that, you're one of His children. And then He asks that you be a faithful child, faithfully doing His will, your Father's will, in order that you might enter into the kingdom of heaven. If we can help you in any way this morning, please come as together we stand and sing.